I'm just opening my pages so I can type in as we're talking.
Okay, is there anything I need to prepare or get
no,
or
I just
show
wanted...
you? Okay.
Do you have a map?
Yeah.
A big map?
Let me see if this is the right one. If not, I can go grab the most up-to-date one outside. Yeah, this is up-to-date. You guys want orientation? I guess we'll show it to you guys. This is Glenville, north state line.
Well, my first question is, why did he send us the email to have us come and meet with him?
Well, I mean, I think he just knew you were concerned. I don't actually know your name. I'm sorry.
Doreen Hansen.
Okay.
Mike.
Yes.
Sean Gaston.
Nice to meet you guys. I mean, I guess the idea being that you guys are clearly concerned about what is happening and us reaching out to answer and address your questions. Generally, that was it.
Okay.
This is...
And then again, 65. Kind of along the same lines, we've heard over and over that Invenergy is willing to work with us. What does that mean to you?
What does that mean to us?
Yeah.
That we're willing to work with you. I mean, it means that...
This is you.
You know, that's why we're setting up this meeting now and have reached out to you in the past and had a lease with you in the past for 7 years. And, you know, have had an office here for 2.5 years and I've been trying to, you know, answer questions and be proactive with this.
I just want to say that lease, I never wanted to be part of it. Mm-hmm. I am with 3 others. So
yeah, no,
just to put it out there. You've been here for 2.5 years in this office?
Yeah, I mean, it's not fully staffed all the time. No. We've had it for about, we just re-signed it for another year. So actually we're probably at 18 months, 14 months.
Well, as I see the work with us, if you're non-participating work with us simply means that you're going to tell us the same thing over and over. So, like the Gaston property there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I mean, that's...
is pretty crowded.
My big problem, Matt, is literally no one has talked to us.
Yeah.
And now we have 7 windmills within a mile of our home.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep hearing Dan say in articles and meetings
yeah.
that we're all about the community and working with them. And I think
yeah.
no one ever was going to come and tell us that there were going to be,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be one 1,400 feet from our front door. And I mean, you guys don't even have us on the map as a residential property.
Yeah, I think I actually fixed that because I did catch that the other day.
And I mean, the one that I just got emailed out from Dan, I'm like, I mean...
He was working with an older one. If you look there, we did correct that because it's, I mean, it was older parcel data.
Right.
And it was fairly recently carved out, from my understanding of it, within the last
three years.
Yeah, I mean, I was under the impression that we had a land agent come out and talk to you and explain it, but it sounds like he was pretty hasty in that and was just asking
for
a W-9. And
yeah,
he
basically just came out
yeah.
and told me, you have to do this.
Yeah.
The IRS requires that you do this.
Mm-hmm.
There was never an explanation on why the IRS required me to do it.
Yeah.
Especially since we didn't have an agreement with you. We've never received a dime from you.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I hope you can see that would put me in this situation of the only contact I have, then all of a sudden I see this map with 7 is to have had one conversation
yeah.
totally
no,
unconnected to the project besides being told I needed to sign this one form. And then, you know, that definitely caught me off guard.
Absolutely. I mean, understandable. I see where you're coming from on that. I mean...
So the manufacturer safety zone on these particular
mm-hmm.
turbines is 1,640 feet. We're looking at this. There is room to move some of these away further from the Gaston property.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be working with us to move some of those
okay.
in locations like that. Because there's some other properties as well, in particular 2 properties, his and one other, that are really... getting crowded on County Road 1.
Okay. I mean, I'm not aware of I would be interested to see the manufacturer's rating for, you know, what turbine that is and when that came out. If you could send that to me after this.
It's online. You can look it up.
Okay, I was just curious to like what you're getting references from. It could be a different turbine model, a different year, anything like that. Those change. That's all. You know, saying look up turbine specs specifically. Lots of those. So we can look at that. Let me grab a different map without all of this crazy stuff on here so okay. We can look at the property lines a little bit better. It's the same one. These show constraints generally, which red would be environmental constraints. You know, you have the Shell Rock River through there. There are generally groups of trees coming around through that, or creeks and cricks. I mean, there's kind of floodplains and roads, like the darker gray. This is the same data, just clean. I think it's a little bit easier to see. Turn this light on. So what we are seeing would be down, so it would be your property.
Gaston's there.
Yeah. Gaston there. So the way Minnesota works, just from like a high permitting level, is what they have is this thing called the wind access buffer, which is when you see, that's not very clear. If you look in very closely and see these slightly darker green shapes, yep. That's what that is. And that is meant to, or the reason behind it, to protect the wind rights of all neighboring properties. So those are the two main wind directions. It's 5 rotor diameters in that way, which is, I think when you do the math, it's like 1,900 feet.
And it's 1140 in the 3.
And then 3 is 1140. Okay, so I guess you guys are familiar with that. So that's what that is. That's the limiting factor from property lines when you look at that. The other limiting factor would be environmental setbacks and things of that nature, which is what Fremont County has an ordinance that requires 3 rotor diameters setback from type 3 wetlands, type 3, 4, and 5 wetlands, I believe, which is what that would be in the limiting factor going this way. This is in the red because it was actually, there's some stock ponds right here that were are not classified as that. So that's generally how we come up with everything. The other addition would be the noise and shadow flicker limits that the state of Minnesota requires us to hit, being 50 decibels and 30 hours shadow flicker every year. We have calendars, which Dan has printed out and is bringing if he's coming, that show, you know, shadow flicker is a predictable thing. We know where the sun is going to be at any given time, where they, you know, put some assumptions into that, run that model, and make sure that we stay beneath 30 hours, which is 99.4% of the year. So that's the other requirement. And I think what you end up seeing, basically, is the residential setbacks are driven more by the noise and shadow flicker requirements to actually hit those.
What are the state requirements for the low frequency?
For the low frequency? Mm-hmm. I don't think there are any specific state requirements for low frequency noise. I think that's, you know, I'm not the noise expert. We have those that will be testifying at our hearings. I think generally it's been found that low frequency noise is everywhere and all around us, coming off of roads and cars in this room right now, and isn't an issue.
It's not 24/7 here, though. Cars aren't going by here 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's less with the consistentness of it and more of just the idea that low frequency noise itself is just a part of everyday life.
And I guess that comes, to me, the larger concern I have for my family is that I look at the maps that Dan sent out, mm-hmm. of shadow and noise, and I see we're right in between 45 and 50 mm-hmm. decibels, mm-hmm. which I understand the state gives you to 50. Mm-hmm. We're right in between 10 to 30 hours of shadow flicker. Mm-hmm. So we're literally could be buffering right up to both limits.
But it's not any just given... from one spot, though. It's from
three. Right.
It's kind of three different areas.
I'm not a huge physics guy or anything, but I know that, you know, sound is amplified by multiple sources, and I've got, you know, different... we have seven, like I said. Now,
yeah.
Obviously, our bigger concern is 38 and 39, mm-hmm. but, you know, I start to look at it, and I just think, well, with all this space we have, literally, you know, a non-participant who's had no communication is going to be set between all of the absolute maxes. And, you know, that to me is just, again, the hard point of it comes back to, there was, why not even let us know that's what's coming our way? Because you're right, we are a new construction, and, you know, we just... I'm sitting there thinking, well, we like where we live. It's nice. It's quiet. 45 decibels doesn't seem that much, but I know from, you know, looking into it that's enough to disrupt sleep. I mean, I know that from World Health Organization says above 35 is unrecommended. I know it's also just, you know, the fact of what is it going to do to what we have around us? I mean, we picked that location. You can look. I mean, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So I guess I wonder, because it puts us in the tight spot of learning to deal with that, or basically having to give up a property at a loss to get through that. So, again, it comes back to why wouldn't even have any communication about that down the road. So, and I've, through them and through the articles and stuff, I've heard all the, that, you know, all these effects are negligible. I find those to be somewhat condescending from people who don't live near them, mm-hmm. to say, well, yeah, it's negligible to have that noise all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
Invenergy provide a health guarantee associated with the turbines running?
A health
like
guarantee?
That?
I mean...
Okay, they're all healthy right now. We're asking you to move that back to assure that that remains, because there are cases of people experiencing tinnitus. There's people that have experienced heart palpitations, loss of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys, Invenergy, feels that this is not going to happen, and we're looking at this and working with us is not going to happen, are you going to offer a health guarantee?
I mean, I would be interested how something like that would realistically work in
the
real world.
They don't have any pre-existing conditions. There's nothing that they have right now. And you put these up and, you know, like smoking, it takes mm-hmm. decades for that to show up.
Yeah.
We all know smoking is no good.
Yeah.
No. These turbines get turned on and you have people that are experiencing symptoms
mm-hmm.
in weeks, months. You know, are you familiar with the Bent Tree Project?
I am, yes.
Are you aware that there was 5 elderly people that moved within the first year?
I was not aware that there were 5. No, I wasn't.
Have you seen the Minnesota Health Report that associated those health issues with the Hagen's family, the Hagen families, Bernie and Cheryl?
Yeah, I'm relatively familiar with that case going on.
So, you know, it can happen. So I'm just asking. I'm very concerned. He's got a 6-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a baby on the way.
Yeah, I mean, there are also hundreds of people living within that project that are...
Not everyone gets motion sickness, do they?
No.
See, that's the thing that we're talking about here. This is not, it's not 100% going to happen.
Not everybody gets sick from smoking cigarettes either.
Yeah, no, it's true. That are perfectly healthy, the next day they get diagnosed with something terrible and are sick. I mean...
This is something that's being planted in our yards, though. I mean, it's being planted there, it's being put there, and like... So you see any wiggle room there? Do you see room to move that?
I mean, that's something we can look at. I'm also not the engineer, so we can have the engineer look at that. These locations right now are pretty set. We're planning on filing our permit with the state tomorrow. We're waiting on comments. That goes
waiting
through.
On what?
Can I?
Waiting on comments from the Department of Commerce.
How many total windmills are there going to be in the project?
In the Minnesota portion, we are filing an application for 84 megawatts, so 42.
Okay.
Why are there 49 on your map then?
49 on
The map we just got sent yesterday by Dan.
In Minnesota?
Yeah.
How many total?
How many total?
Because I say I see 49, yeah. You're numbered out to 49.
Well, the number is 49. The numbers, I mean, I think are fairly well old.
Because we have been told over and over, and it's been in print, that there's 100 total here.
We have 200 megawatts of capacity available at the Glenworth substation. That is the upper limit at this point. What you'll see, why there's 49 there, there's no one or two. We cut some off and renumbered them. The plan is to file a permit application for 84 total megawatts tomorrow. One thing we do have to do that you might not be aware of is once we file that, you know, that's what actually starts the review process. That does not mean it's a done deal or a guarantee or anything like that, as you are well aware. There's like a 30-day review period from the Department of Commerce for completeness to make sure that all the random T's are crossed and I's are dots, I's are dotted. After that, then we have to send a copy of that specific application, which in this case will be on the form of like a CD, and it'll be a digital copy, to every tax-paying citizen, whoever owns property within this. We send those to their tax address. So all 240 people that are within this boundary will get a direct copy of that application mailed to their door with the 1,200-page permit application and everything in there. So that will be coming as well. That's a state requirement. Right now we're planning for 84 megawatts within Minnesota would be what we are going to permit. What actually gets built is different, and the balance would be across the border in Iowa.
Another question for you, you know, connected to us. I'm assuming these, look at the map, there's like some notation about like NAC ownership, or something. I'm assuming that's some sort of sensor package box sort of thing to...
Of what?
A NAC1 receptor. It's listed to being on our property.
NAC1
receptor. It's
on... Look at that.
Yeah.
Where does it say that? NAC1 receptor. And then, those are the specific... Those are the houses. So this is the actual sound modeling map that they did.
Oh, okay.
So every dot within there is what we identified as a receptor.
That makes sense.
And to answer your question earlier, so... Yes, there are more turbines around, and you're correct that more turbines create a cumulative effect. And you can kind of see that in those bands when they get closer together, those bridges gap.
Right.
But that does not mean we don't require... We're not modeling at the turbine noise, at the turbine base to make sure we hit the noise. We're modeling it at each individual one of those receptors to make sure we hit those requirements.
Is there a range... Is that the max? So you're saying 45 is never going to exceed 45? Because that's sort of my question is, you know, this is saying noise level contours, 45 runs right through our house.
Yeah.
I guess the question I'm having is, you know, is that you guys saying no matter what, 45 is the peak level our sound engineer is saying you'll ever encounter? Or is this more of the, on an average... probability you're going to have 45? Because I guess...
I believe, and I can actually put you in touch with him and you can have a call with him and ask him all these questions because he is the expert who runs the models. I believe that means it will never exceed 45.
But okay.
I want to confirm that.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, again, my concern in, you know, the position that we've had from the beginning is, you know, just what it's going to do day-to-day life is, you know, if 45 is a maximum, then I get that some days there's going to be less, but if 45 is our average, then all of a sudden at night we're at 50 then, you know, we're down here. Well, you know, that's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. I want to say that 45 would be the max, but I will confirm.
And the same question would apply to, like, the shadow flicker, because we're right there in between.
I know for shadow flicker, that is the max it would be.
Okay.
Who do we call when that goes over?
When that goes over, I mean, we will be here. We will have a complaint hotline. We will have an office right there that will be fully staffed with those people.
And what happens? I mean, do I call and say, I've recorded 30 hours of flicker, and now it's flickering on 31, and I'm going to call you and I say, shut down turbine 37, and you're going to shut it down?
Yeah, if we exceed those violations, I mean, you're recording this right now, if we exceed those state violations, we are in violation, mm-hmm. and you can file that with the state or come talk to us and have us fix it and shut those down and take
file
those
with
steps.
The state, so what are we talking here, years?
Because
say
no, that's
I'm saying that's a form. That's there is the formal complaint method. If for whatever reason Excel, who is owning it,
mm-hmm.
if for whatever reason Excel does not do that, then you have that also. You have that state. But
do I have to sue Excel?
No, you don't have to sue Excel.
Do you guys pass over administration then to Excel?
Yes, they will build it and they will own it.
So we'd have to go through them. For any mitigation or remediation.
We are getting the permits. We are working, it's called a build transfer, or development transfer. So we are getting the permits and everything in a row, and then we give them the rights to those, and then they build it and will own it and operate it. You know, as a condition of our permit, we will be required to hit those levels at those frequencies, and we can't exceed them. You know, what you can see is, say, if we had a house that had 32 hours of shadow flicker a year, and that's what we predicted, we can program those turbines remotely, you know, where they know where the sun is going to be, to shut that down, to get to that threshold. And that's the O&M guys don't like it, but it's a moderately straightforward thing to do.
Because that would be another concern I know my wife and I would have is having had to go through, you know.
Yeah, you'd want to know who to talk to and what to deal with, so it's not a rabbit hole of you having to sue Excel or something like that. Within the permit application, there is a formal complaint resolution process that will outline what to do with all of that, and we will be there to complain to and answer any of those questions. Hey, Dan.
Sorry I'm late. I was meeting with one of your neighbors, and questioning went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Are you Sean?
Yes.
Hey, Dan Litchfield.
That's me.
Mike, Dorian, how are you?
Hey.
You get a chair?
Because, I mean, I'd say Bent Tree has not done you guys any favors listening to the complaint process there, which is basically an unanswered phone.
Yeah.
So that leaves us with the thought that if we have a complaint, it's going to be an unanswered phone for... And then a comment back of, well, it doesn't really matter because we can do what we want.
Yeah.
And so, that is a concern for my wife and I, so.
It's a high-tech tape recorder.
Looks.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry I'm late. Yeah. I was just in a conversation with just like this, with the actual cassette tape.
They were just talking about, I was going through the complaint resolution procedure that's included in the permit and just talking through that and who they would actually go to and talk to. They had concerns about, you know, Bent Tree issues that had been raised and not addressed and everything like that.
Yeah, I've spoken briefly to Greg, I can't remember his last name, he's the plant manager at Bent Tree. And I'm aware there's some very persistent complaints that are unresolved. He said they've tried to resolve them and haven't been able to, so sometimes that'll happen. But I prepared a couple things I can show you if you'd like on maps and sound and shadow flicker.
Other question was, shadow flicker, the requirements, that's the absolute max we can hit in the year. But sound would be the same if, you know, his sound reading is 48 decibels. It would never exceed 48, correct?
Yeah, the modeled sound level is the worst case.
Yeah.
So, Sean, this is a shadow flicker calendar for your home. This is when it's possible to have flicker. Our estimate is 22 hours and 2 minutes per year. And is 8,760 hours per year. So I apologize for the small print, but this is time of day and this is time of year, like the months. So this gray line, this would be like sunset, this is sunrise, and the jagged lines are daylight savings. So this blob here, the pink one, is turbine 38.
Okay.
Which, and here's your home, and that's to the northeast. So the 22 hours and 2 minutes is what's called the realistic estimate, which is still conservative. There's a worst-case estimate, which would mean the wind is always blowing, the sun is always shining, and the wind is blowing in the right direction to cause the flicker. And then realistic filters that out to include probability of sunshine and wind direction. But it still doesn't count on any obstacles blocking your view.
Okay.
And I think you have some trees here that probably could block it. So it might be less than that.
Do you have a rough estimate on what the worst, I mean, are we talking doubling this? Are we talking, because I mean, that's sort of my question for Matt about the sound too, was when I get this number and I see 45 or I see, you know, this, now that sounds great. But my concern is, okay, so maybe I have a couple of years that's like this, but do I also have a year where all this, or nights where my sound is 55, 60, and I've got a baby now that won't sleep, because we know that once you get above 50, you're really just going to have people have a tough time sleeping.
The 45 is the absolute worst case that we expect, and we think it's conservative. We think it probably will be less than that. Let me correct that. You may have sound levels higher than that, but not from us. As windy as it is today, you might have ambient sound levels above 45 decibels. But this is just from the wind. And this calendar is the worst case.
Okay.
22 hours is the realistic case. Because if you were to sum up, you know, like, there could be more than 22 hours shown here.
Gotcha.
But we expect it to be less than that. I don't have a calendar for your home, because our prediction is zero. Because of the angles of where you are and where you're here, right? Yeah.
It's this one and these three.
Yeah, so this is a mile and a half to the west, and we think that's too far. The shadows aren't going to reach that far. And this one is a little closer, but it's still almost a mile, and it's south of you, so the angles are never going to line up so that you have flicker. But your sound prediction is 37.2, so that's also 45 is quiet. 37.2 is really quiet. I would venture that you won't really be able to perceive that.
Isn't it at 30 that people start having sleep problems though? I thought it was much lower than that.
30 to 35 is what I saw World Health say.
Yeah.
I mean, perceived health issues.
Yeah,
I mean, sleep issues. Sorry, not health issues. Sleep issues.
Yeah. When we present our application, which will hopefully be tomorrow, we did ambient sound monitoring at 5 locations. We measured the sound of the area now.
Where'd you do that?
Find those points for you.
I mean, they're not on this map. But
I'm trying to
remember. Like, how long of a time period did you do that?
2 weeks? About a week and a half, two weeks.
Like, when did you do it? For how many days did you do it? And where did you do it?
Let me get you that answer. It'll be in the application, but I can give it to you now. But we measured 5 different locations. The point being, like, the lowest levels we recorded, I want to say we're in the 30s. So you're very likely never going to get, or very rarely going to get 30 decibels at night, period. Set aside the wind farm.
And what did you use to measure that? I've been reading that some of this equipment is not actually made for wind in particular, but rather it's just made for collecting sound. So what do you know what equipment you actually used on that?
Yeah, let me just print our application, or the sound report for you. I mean, I've got the model numbers and all that. I don't have that memorized. I mean, sound is sound. There's different ways to measure it and report it, but I'm not aware of a wind-specific microphone. I mean, there's different wind shields you can use. We did. And we're trying to filter out. I mean, that's the main source of ambient noise is wind. Not wind turbines, just wind.
So the when and where? I was also wondering when you did the bird and avian, or a bat and avian codes.
The last year and a half, they're going on down here right now. Mm-hmm. Those will be all submitted, and once we finish the first year here, we did two full years here, starting basically sometime in 2014 and wrapping up a couple months ago.
Have you had airplanes flying around doing some counts lately?
Yes, down in Iowa there would have been probably 2 months ago.
Nothing more recent than that?
No.
We had
helicopters do raptor nest surveys. Because
yeah.
That's an efficient
way. There was a small helicopter. It wasn't actually an airplane.
Yeah, well, there's a helicopter and an airplane that I'm asking about.
Yeah, so what they do, I mean, they're basically flying up and down through those rows, and that is a nest survey. So they're just looking
mm-hmm.
for nests in trees and identifying those.
But you finished that some time ago?
Yes.
Okay.
Dan or Matt, could you also... What...
Michael.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, no worries.
I wish you had told me. I keep telling you that.
No.
So, my impact on like signal interference, any of that kind. And the reason why I ask you that is, unfortunately, Google or no one like that has made their way out to us, as you know. So we're pretty reliant on satellite for everything. And you know, for example, my wife goes on call. If we don't have internet, she can't be at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what impact are we going to be getting? Because I can tell you right now that I believe our signal comes off of Chad's tower.
Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It's grain like, I should say.
This over here. So, I mean, I know, I don't think there's necessarily something line of sight. Is that, I'm just concerned about that. You know, that was one of the questions my wife immediately asked was, if I don't have internet, that's, you know, six nights a month now that I can't come home from work. So
we will make sure you have internet. If you have a point-to-point internet signal, it is possible that it could be blocked, and we'd have to mitigate that. The project would have to fix that. If you have satellite TV, you're going to be totally fine. There's no problem with that. If you have over-the-air antenna, there's a chance it can be blocked. It's just a matter of threading the needle of your line of sight from here. Is it, you were pointing over here?
No, they're
Chad
back
Anderson.
This way.
Chad Anderson's house is right. There's Steve's. There's Chad's right there. No, maybe right here.
Yeah, I mean, that looks
this one,
like you'll be okay, but...
this one might be Chad's.
How many people do you think are going to be affected by the over-the-air signal, the TV?
That's what I had, the number I mentioned before. In my personal experience, it's like 1-2% of the project area that have television.
That's Loin's, Gary's, Chad's right there.
Issues.
Gotcha.
Well, like the telecommunications in general, the GPS, the internet, you only think it's 1-2%?
That's my real-world experience working on a project that was in operations for 3 years, and we got 17 TV and internet complaints. There's one internet, 16 TV, out of 1,340 homes. That's... I don't have like official study data, but that was my personal experience for a project that
mm-hmm.
was around for...
What's the time period for fixing it?
As soon as possible.
So there's no time period? I mean, like, she's on call every third day. So, you know, they...
She can wait 2 years before you get it fixed, or what?
No, let's line it up right now and see if we think this is going to be a problem.
Well, actually, we were asking earlier, Michael here, about the work with you. Looks to us like there's some space that you can move those.
That was my question to Michael was, we've had one interaction with Invenergy in this entire planning process, and no one bothered to come and tell us that we'd have seven of them within a mile of our house. The only thing we had was one worker who came and told me I had to sign a W-9 or the IRS would be on me. I've never received money from you guys. I've never had an agreement.
Yeah, so I think that was before
it was not Michael. I had not met Michael until today.
No, it wasn't me, but I was associated with him.
So I think what... Help me with the timeline here, because I wasn't there.
So we purchased that property when going on three to four years, because we bought it about January... I want to say January of... Was it 13 or 14? Because we lived in Michigan for a while and owned the property. We started construction in August of 15 and moved in July of 16. So,
were you living there when he stopped by?
No.
No, I didn't. We didn't stop by. I was called and told I had to come to the office.
Oh, you were still at home.
No, I that's the only interaction I've had until I called someone the other day and asked a question.
So it was before you guys moved in?
I might have talked to Michael. So, and that to me has been the part that sort of bothers me is, I mean, we have a pretty high concentration, and I get that other people might have higher concentration, but to not even be told that it was going to happen.
Well, it's not, I mean, we're beginning the application to the state process, so there will be, within the next, I don't know, 30 to 60 days, you'll get a CD in the mail with the entirety of the application. It'll be on the website. Like, the process of public notification is still going on.
Right.
And you bought a piece of land that was signed up.
No, I didn't.
My land was never, it was always blacked out. Huh. All right. The other issue we had, I mean...
And we had been told this was a done, dead deal.
The project was dead?
Yes.
When was...
Well, in fact, his title person called somebody in your office when we discovered that it had been included in the easement. It was not supposed to ever be included in the easement, and that particular person said, yeah, I don't think that's going to be happening.
Okay.
An office administrator. Okay.
Assistant. Yeah, so what that is specifically is if you look on the easement that was recorded, it excludes, you know, that whole area where your house was built from any sort of construction or anything activities, but the whole parcel was recorded at the county.
Yes, it was.
So if you would have done a title search or when you parceled that out, you would have seen that.
Yeah, and it was not supposed to be. I mean, I had email correspondence with someone from Invenergy, which is the only reason that we were able to separate it.
That was actually the reason we were able to get our title.
Right.
So, okay.
Because we couldn't get anyone from your guys' corporate office to actually respond back to the title company.
Well, so this is 2015, 2016?
That would have been in 2015.
Mm-hmm. In 2015, when you were trying to get the title.
Yeah, because my title company actually called me and was like,
2 years after
the what did you sign? And I said, I didn't sign anything. This is, you know, through this way, and the only reason our bank even let us move forward was email correspondence saying that was clear. So.
Okay,
good. Yeah. Well, I mean, after it was signed in 2008, so in 2015 it automatically terminates. It is no longer in effect.
Mm-hmm.
Or 7 years from the effective date. It's a Minnesota law.
Mm-hmm.
So that very well could have been it.
Okay. And that was beside the point, so.
So we are trying to notify people, just being available, having an office, having a Facebook page, having a website. We're about to file the application. There'll be legal notice as part
of
that.
So you're unwilling to look at this and see if you can move the turbines. Is that the end result with that?
I didn't know that was the question.
Because we've asked that question like four times now.
That turbine can't move because... Okay, did we talk through the wind access buffer? Do you see that shape?
Yeah.
So, we're talking about 37?
38, 39 would be the 39. Biggest.
Yeah, one. So the spacing between them, and they can't be right next to each other.
Right.
We could check with our engineer about moving in a little bit, but it's probably going to be 50 to 100 feet at most. And if you want more distance, it would have to be eliminated.
What's the distance between them now, you know, 38 and their home?
I can try to estimate that for you. The scale got cut off on this map. So, I mean, this is a scaled map. We could try to estimate from there, but I've got Google Earth, so I can get a little more accurate.
According to the map you sent us, both of these two look like they could be slid over and still not be there. If they both got moved to the east, they'll still be in the...
Well... And this map, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a lighter green and a darker green. And the darker green means there's a setback. Like, you can see this kind of gray circle. That's a setback from the home. And it looks to me like there's a line there and we can't move it further west.
Because of Sheldon's home.
So the minimum setback requirement is 1,000 feet. But
when did that change? I thought it was 1140. Three rotor diameters.
Freeborn County ordinance is 1,000 feet from homes and then three rotor diameters and five rotor diameters from the property lines.
So you only have to be 1,000 feet from the homes, but the safety zone is 1640? How safe is that home?
That's what the ordinance says. That's not what we're doing.
So you're about 2,115 feet.
That's pretty good. The Freeborn County ordinance?
Yeah, the resident... I mean, you're right. The 3RD is the guiding limit.
It trumps that.
But the residential setback in the Freeborn County ordinance is 1,000 feet.
There's also the sound and shadow flicker requirements in there, which are...
Do you happen to know the number of that ordinance?
I can get that for you. It's also cited in our application, which hopefully we'll file tomorrow, and I can send you a link to that when it's out. But it's chapter 26. It was dated December 2015.
The ordinance?
Yeah. You can get it on Freeborn County's website.
So the minimum setback on the county is 1,000 feet, huh?
From homes.
From homes. And I on the 30 decibel, or I mean the 30 hours of flicker... is the Freeborn County ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And is the sound going by Freeborn County or going by state, the 50?
I think they're both the same. Both, yeah. The 50. But I guess it's officially done by the state because it's the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
So MPU's minimum is 1250. State is 1140. County is 1,000. Is that correct?
MPU?
Yeah, they've got a chart that says the minimum on a home is 500 plus the sound distance, which is a minimum of 750, which totals 1250.
I don't think it works that way. I thought the state was 500 plus, but the sound guides it. It doesn't mean 500 plus 750. I think it would just be 750 in that case, but 750 is generally not going to cut it.
I think the idea being, as we were saying earlier, sound is affected by different things, so just saying 750 outright wouldn't actually be sufficient in certain circumstances to where that would be bigger.
I forgot to bring those papers.
Let me show you this. These were the maps that we presented last week at our cookout, I think you referenced. They're a little haggard at this point, but I want to show you, I think this is a good map. So figure 17, this will be in our application. You can keep this if you'd like. Look at the spacing of the turbines here in our Freeborn project versus Bent Tree or any of the other wind farms around here. Like, see how spread out they are?
See this? This is a whole lot nicer. There is absolutely nothing you can say that's going to convince me that any one of them is okay. So, yeah, it is more spread out, but that's also because you had people that chose not to renew, you know, that you ended up spreading it out more.
Yeah, and do you see this here? I mean, this is on this map and this map. We had zero land leased in Iowa in October of last year, and now the majority of the project is going to be there.
I wonder what it would be like 7 years from now.
Well, they have 229 wind turbines in Worth County right now, and they've said we'll take every additional one we can get. So it's amazing, this is the difference in across the state line, and it's just fine. People like it there.
You can have it.
How many residents, just out of curiosity, I mean, it doesn't impact me, but I was just curious, residency-wise in this segment. I've lived here 3 years, so I haven't driven around in Worth County a whole lot.
I don't know the number. We spent the last 2 days driving around there. I would guess it's a similar density to your area here. There's 254 homes within 2 kilometers of all these turbines, and that's what we're including in our sound and our flicker modeling. There's 264, if memory serves, in the entire Bent Tree project.
So the Bent Tree Project is a colossal mess. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you can't even drive by that without getting sick. Mm-hmm. Motion sickness, if you are one that suffers from motion sickness. Yeah, that's pretty horrible. I have a question for you regarding the prophet. Because, you know, as you know, you were at the county commissioners meeting. We've got a couple commissioners there who are very, very interested in dollars and not so much anything else. How much profit is Invenergy going to expect to realize from the project?
I don't know exactly, and that definitely would be confidential anyway. We're going to sell the project to Xcel. They're going to be the owner-operator. They will have the majority of that over time.
So on a yearly basis, how about the county, the township, what will they be generating?
We can show you breakouts of those projections. Obviously, it depends on what turbine is in what township and what county. The general formula is it's 12 cents for every megawatt hour.
$1.20 per megawatt
hour. $1.20. Yeah, 12 cents per every kilowatt hour, $1.20 per every megawatt hour that is generated.
Yeah, it'd be 0.12 cents per kilowatt. But it's $9,000 per turbine, approximately, per year in local property taxes.
Running full capacity? Or is... I'm seeing that a lot of theirs run like 35 to 45%. So is
they're projecting this project to be 45 to 52%. Those are their projections.
So is it... 45 to 55% of 9,600, or is it 9,600 is the 45 to 55%?
Oh, I said 9,000, but okay, it's 9,000, and that's at 45%. You can just check the math if you'd like. 2 megawatts times 8,760 hours per year times 45% times $1.20, and that will yield approximately $9,000. And that is divided 80% to the county, 20% to the township. Mm-hmm. Then there's... money for the landowners and the acreages. The whole thing, we're projecting $3.5 to $4 million per year locally. And now a majority of that is going to be in Iowa.
Just out of curiosity, you've said at several meetings that there'll be 100 turbines. There's way more than 100 turbines on that map.
Yeah, we've been able to get more land than we need in Iowa. So there's approximately 90 shown in Iowa on this map, and there's 42 in Minnesota.
There's 47 on this map in Minnesota.
47?
Ah, yeah. If you count the white and yellow, there's 47 on that map in Minnesota.
Well, that should be 42, but the point is there's more than 100.
Okay, why have you been telling us that meetings that there's only going to be 100?
Because that's their plan.
Okay.
There's a chance there's going to be a significant number of extra, like 30 or 40, in which case we may choose to expand the project if we can, and that would all be in Iowa. For now, the arrangement we have with Xcel is 100 turbines. Actually, 100 turbines with 10 alternates, so 110 is the plan, but they'd only build 100. If you excuse me for a second, I need to make a phone call because I'm going to be late for my 7:30, and I...
Questions.
What else do you have on there?
Who's taking the production tax credit from the project?
And that would be Xcel, the owners of it. I don't know how 100%? That. I don't know how that works on their end from a financial perspective because it's their utility, so it's different. Invenergy won't be getting any of that. We won't, you know, the people that own the generation are the ones that get that.
The FAA, have you filed a turbine placement with them?
No, we have not. We are trying to finalize our locations in Iowa, and we'll be doing that shortly after finalization of those. We've done preliminary air screening studies. You know, there's the airport down in Northwood. That's, they take all the different airspaces and levels and tell you heights of structures and where you can and can't be for anything, any structure. Take those into account.
Michael, property value-wise, I mean, I know Dan will tell me that it will not have any impact at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question to you is looking at this and his comment just about how reluctant Minnesota is.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that if I did want to go and sell my home, I'm going to face the problem.
I see what you're saying when you're coming from that way. We did a property, we studied something in the Bintry area and matched sales nearby with no views of wind turbines and a sale with a view of a wind turbine nearby. I don't remember the actual distance or anything like that, and essentially found no correlations or drops in between those two. Saying that no people are not signed up or feel certain ways about it there, and as a result of that, your property value is going to be affected.
Obviously, we like where we live.
Mm-hmm.
We picked it to be near Mike and Doreen and have our kids grow up there. But not gonna lie, the conversation became like, if we have to get out, because if we, this is totally anecdotal, but I mean, my daughter is definitely afraid of the windmills. We can see the Barton windmill farm from her room, and she sees the glowing lights, and she asks, why are the monsters awake? I mean, she's two, so she'll probably outgrow that, I hope.
And they're 10 miles away.
Yeah, so I guess my concern, like we briefly touched on earlier, is just, we just spent a considerable amount of money building this home, and I worry that if we just decide 3 years from now, okay, we don't enjoy this anymore, that I'm going to be stuck with a, because I've seen horror stories of, like, I mentioned to Commissioner Schaaf, Canada court said, 22% is a pretty standard drop for being near a windmill. And I think 22% for us would kill us. Like, that would be a,
And he said a windmill, not seven of them.
Well, yeah. So, and as I told Michael, I said, I know that you've, mentioned in the meetings that there is no valuation drop, but those are the real concerns we have. We have concerns about the shadow. We have concerns about the sounds, and you've shown me those. And our other concern is just if you get to a point where there is no, yes, it's only 45.3 decibels, but that's bothersome to us. Are we just going to be sitting out a huge drop because of this placement? So, I guess also another question is that's. And I know from the county standpoint, there is no response to that. They tell us that they can't worry about that. So I guess that would be my question to you guys is Michael sort of said that that's hard to gauge in this situation in terms of, I pointed out the reluctance of Minnesota to be a part of the local population to be a part of it. Is that a factor with us? So, I'm not sort of a rambling question, but I guess to me
what sort of guarantee do you?
That's my concern, yeah. And
yeah, because you said there's no value loss, but we've got all kinds of stuff that we've seen that there is value loss.
Well, you can go to the Freeburn County Courthouse and see it.
And to me personally, again, it comes down to do I know that if I'm having a house here that there's a couple miles away, there's one or two. I feel like that's going to have a different impact than having them around. And obviously we can see pretty easily to the border. So,
mm-hmm.
And experience wise, have you seen that impact at all? I mean, there's been no impact value loss property wise for having them nearby.
I personally haven't seen it. I've been doing this for 10 years. We cite in our application a national study done by Lawrence Berkeley Lab that studied 50,000 home sales. And so showed no statistical effect, positive or negative. We have a report that we're presenting as part of our application that looked at bent tree,
okay.
And also didn't find any effect. If you have specific examples you want to talk about, we can look at them.
Oh, I haven't gone house shop. I haven't done the house shop or anything like that.
Bernie Hagen, 40% reduction in his
property tax
assessed value. That's a pretty significant drop. And have you been to his place? It's pristine. It's nice. There's another, I can't think of the woman's name. She's left the area. Her house isn't sold. And are you familiar with Ted Hartke?
I know the
name.
Benji
from Indiana?
His house just sold. Actually, I haven't found out yet what it sold for, but
3 or 4 years later, you know, it's been sitting empty. It's a $400,000 home. I mean, I'd like to know what it sold for.
Me too.
I mean, to say that this does not happen just cannot be. You know, the number one thing for real estate is location, location, location.
I think an argument could also be made for local services, schools, property tax values.
They're down the list.
Yeah, well, I'm saying
number one is location. Number two and number three are location.
Yeah. I mean, we're happy to have that discussion. If you want to go through some examples, show the studies. I'm not aware of the Canada Court one that you referenced. I haven't seen it.
The Berkeley study, don't they do a... They went 10 miles away. Berkeley study went 10 miles away, and they're... We're 10 miles away right now from Carpenter. To sell a home right now is not the same as a home that is 1 mile away or a half mile away from a turbine. You know, I believe Marcetti actually said there was a 28% reduction in property value 3 miles and closer to the turbines.
I definitely agree there's a difference between 10 miles and half mile, but
definitely.
I'm not aware of that aspect of that study.
I know you have one paragraph on your website, the paragraph that says they studied 50,000 homes in this many states and this many counties and all that business, but if you read the entire thing, they went 10 miles away. That is like, doesn't even count, negligible. You know, so really what we're looking at, us included, even though we don't have one within that 1,200 feet or whatever of our home, the property values most definitely are going to be changed. And what does Invenergy Excel offer as far as if you need to leave because you are experiencing whatever it might be?
The non-existent health hazards.
I think what we offer is planning up front. And you know, I don't have to give you this. We do have to model flicker. We do have limits on it. We do have sound limits. We are going above and beyond what the minimum requirements are. And the minimum requirements are strict. So you have the right to enjoy your property. Your neighbors have the right to harvest their wind if they want to. And in Minnesota, there's a huge amount of red tape from our standpoint about how we design these things. We can't put them just wherever we want.
Right.
And you got to... Our estimate was 2,100 feet to the nearest turbine. That's pretty far.
Just out of curiosity. Oh.
Not when you're including 2 miles in that.
What kind
average you said was 19 earlier.
Can I, just out of curiosity, number of projects you've been on, what have been the largest complaints? And
during operations?
Yeah.
Television reception.
That's by far.
And that's 1-2% of the... Yeah. I worked on this project in Ohio. 152 wind turbines went online in 2012. I left that company and came to Invenergy this time last year, so it had been 4 years of operation, and there were 25 complaints out of 1,300 homes in the project area in a 1 mile buffer.
And they were all, most of them were, you said, 16 TV and one internet.
Yeah, and that's the biggest issue. There were five, so that there's seven left that were people concerned about sound or flicker. And so when we offer to plant bushes or give the calendar, I like to give the calendars. It's pretty geeky, but it's at least now you know. And if you're not home when that happens, then what's the problem? Or if you know when to expect it and close your blinds, or, there's specific angles involved. Now you know exactly which turbine it is. And if this existing tree line is not enough to block your view of it, we'd be happy to work with you to plant some more trees, right there, and take care of that.
In 20 years, it'll be good.
I mostly laughed because I was sitting there thinking, oh, man, I'm a teacher. So I'm May, June, July, August, it's right when I'm home. And I was oh, man, Izzy knows when these things are going to be up. That's when she gets up. But no, that's where I'm curious is where you've seen those complaints. Were you guys able to to remedy those.
Yeah. So, as far as no one in that project had a big brouhaha and had to abandon their home and move out. There were a couple people. A couple people that I spoke with pre-construction that were kind of in your shoes. I've heard terrible things. I'm really concerned about this. And I left them with a neighbor agreement. If you'd like to sign this, you're welcome to. If you decide you're okay once the turbines turn on, then that's fine too. And they called me 2 weeks after operations began. They said, this is fine. We can't. They were worried about sound and vibration. And they were like a quarter mile away from the nearest turbine. And they determined it was fine. Sorry, Michael.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, as a company with over 3,200 turbines actually installed, I mean, our reputation is everything. And if you think of 3,200 turbines, that's a lot. And a lot of people living by those. And if things were happening that some people claim or that you hear or anything like that, I think it would be a much bigger problem. How many are in the U.S.?
It's like 90,000 megawatts in the U.S. There's 3,100 megawatts in Minnesota and like 6,500 in Iowa, and probably going to be about 9,000 in Iowa by the end of the next 3 years. We keep growing because it's not as bad as I think you're concerned it is.
Okay, because then, you know, this is anecdotal. I mean, that's the...
Yeah.
The impression I get is always that it's... maybe not as bad, but I never hear anyone outside of someone who has like 8 on their property and who are enjoying 20 grand a year or whatever. I mean, I don't know if that number is accurate. It probably isn't, but outside of those people, I haven't heard very many people that are like, well, some are like,
in fact,
if I wouldn't do it again. And again, I'll be honest, it's going to be Bent Tree people that tell us that. They tell us that. I mean, we ran into one in the grocery store the other day, and unsolicited, they said, if I knew what I knew now, I would have never signed on to the project. So those are the concerns we have, mm-hmm. is we hear that, and I mean, those people live in our community, and if, you know, telling us that, I think you can understand why we would be like, wait a minute, this is coming to us, and you literally have someone stop you in the grocery store and say, we heard that the windmills are coming near you. Yeah, oh, I wish we hadn't signed. Now, I know you'll tell me that they're different setup. I mean, looking at the map, I see that they're drastically different. But
yeah, I mean,
that's our concern.
Yeah, fair concern. I mean, we can connect you with people who live around our wind turbines. We have videos online. If you go to Vimeo site /Invenergy, there's some testimonials from people who live around turbines. Look at Worth County, Iowa. There's 229 wind turbines, and we got enough land signed up for 90 of them in 5 months. And some of those people have turbines nearby. There's a difference of opinion, but I think by and large we see a lot of support. I've got a sheet over here I can give you too.
Because I mean, I just from looking around our part, it seems like a lot of the people who signed on don't live here. I mean,
there's certainly some of that, but there's a lot of people.
Because I mean, I know that here. The people that you're building the windmill on right across from our house, one of them, the main one, is a pilot. He's never here.
Never farmed.
In fact, if you ask people, around Glenville, they're like, "What?
Who?
Who is that guy?"
The guy next to him lives in Arizona, and the guy next to him lives in California.
That's, you know.
Yeah, and then there's Steve Anderson, who lives right there, who is signed up and has a lot of land. And is
getting Steve Anderson, just in this last week, has said, I do not want a turbine by my house.
But I'll take the money for all the towers.
Well, I mean, we've talked to him, and he's signed up on this one that's right here.
I'm telling you, he just said that this last week. But yet it's okay for him to do it to, 18 other people is what he, or 18 turbines is what he has said he's getting. Yet that's the kind of mentality that we have going here. People who don't live here and people who are just enjoying the money. And yet they will say to all of us, I don't want one by my house either.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoke pretty clearly with, like, the Davises, Claire Davis, and...
You could offer the Davises anything with money attached to it, and they'll take it. I mean, I do have one question related to what you said earlier about nobody ever complaining. At the commissioner's meeting, there was a couple testimonies that you...
Did I say no one ever complained? I didn't say that.
No, that you're unaware of. It would be worse if it, you know, if it was so bad, it would be worse than what it is. Something to that effect. There was a couple testimonies during the commissioner's meeting where you shook your head during that testimony, and I printed those articles, and I apologize if I forgot them. But one was about a $40 million lawsuit that was filed sometime recently.
In New York.
Can you explain that? What that was about? Where it went?
You know, anyone who can hire a lawyer can file a lawsuit
and make
a claim. Now they have to prove that. And mm-hmm. that's the process that's about to begin. And that hasn't, those types of claims have never been proven.
So this is one that's about to go to court? Mm-hmm. It's not
gone? I don't know the
exact
status of it. It's in New York.
But it hasn't been tried?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Do you know what it's in regards to?
No, I think it's general concern about, you know, annoyance from wind turbines. As far as I know, it's in New York. It's a different region. We have a lot of wind farms. I don't know the specifics.
And then there was the Wall of Shame. Invenergy owing over $400,000 in back taxes.
Yeah, that's not true, but I followed up with the commissioners about that. I'm happy to get you the details on that. So there's a project in Champaign County, I think, California Ridge, and we sold a controlling interest in that project to someone else. We still operate the project.
Sorry, Mike.
The new owner paid the taxes when they were due, but the county assessor didn't send a cover letter. And they didn't recognize the entity that was paying the taxes, and so they didn't cash the check. And there was some miscommunication, and they got posted on the Wall of Shame. But the taxes have been paid. And they were paid on time, but there was miscommunication around it.
I see.
So the truth is not as interesting, but that's what happened. By the way, do you guys want anything to drink? It's hot out. We've got some cold water and sodas.
Dan, what's timeline project, not construction, but... length of project, loan windows are up 25 years, correct?
We're projecting a 30-year life on this, but
okay.
In that ballpark, 25
years. What happens at year 31? I mean, what happens to these windmills?
So should we be successful in getting a site permit for the project, it's a 30-year life, and so at the end it expires or has to get renewed. The project, before it goes into construction, will have to create a decommissioning plan. So at the end of life, this is the plan to remove this and this and this and project the cost of doing so. At some point, but not immediately, the project will have to post independent security so that there's money available to do that. And then every 5 years, update that cost estimate and update the surety.
Okay.
So it'll be a bond or a letter of credit or something.
At this point, have there been projects that have reached their lifetime end? What generally happens with them? Because it made it sound like there's a possibility that someone just rolls that into a new project. You just file for a new permit and roll again?
It could be. There's a project, the oldest project in Minnesota, which went online, I think, in 1997 in Lincoln County, is announced, at least, is not permitted yet, but it's going to be repowered. So they're going to take down the old wind turbines and put up new ones, generally in the same area, not in the same exact spots. But it's a whole new permit process. So that's the plan, but they have to get the permit to do so. So I'm aware of, the United States led the world in renewable, in wind energy in the late 70s and early 80s. And some of those turbines were abandoned. Some of those have been removed and repowered. So I have a former coworker who worked on a construction project where they removed 65 kilowatt wind turbines. They moved like 265 turbines, replaced them with 8 new ones, and doubled the output in the project. So you go from a 65 kW machine to a 2 megawatt, 2,000 kilowatt, you need fewer of them. So I strongly doubt that there's going to be that continued increase in the size of turbines 30 years from now. But there's a possibility they'll be renewed. I have no idea what the energy market's going to be like in 30 years.
And with that, it also comes with the terms of the legal agreement that will be signed, which has a 35-year life. That you can't extend that forever. You would have to go back to the landowner and renegotiate that at that point.
Okay.
The crews that are coming here to build, where are they coming from?
To be determined, Xcel will pick the contractor. There's two major wind farm contractors that are based here in Minnesota called Mortenson and Blattner. There's actually a Mortenson employee who lives somewhere around Glenville. I've spoken with him, haven't met him. So there's going to be some combination of local construction workers and people from out of state to do the specialty stuff. Yeah, so there's our projections are about 200 jobs during the peak of construction. That's probably a good average. Some people will be local, some people will not. Even if they're not local, they'll be buying gas and meals and hotel stays.
And like the ones that are doing the survey?
For example, the people doing the survey.
Yeah, they're all in Iowa. They're not spending any money in Minnesota.
Well, I don't know. Right now that we're doing a lot of surveying in Iowa. As you know, the majority
of
the project is in
by
Iowa.
For the last 2 weeks.
I just talked to him. And someone else just spoke to him a couple days ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
Their license plates, you know, Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa, which they confirm. Yeah, that's where we're from. And they're staying in Iowa. Yeah, they're eating in Iowa. Not a lot of that is staying in Minnesota. But how many of these people work for you? Or have worked for you?
These people?
I think any of them work for. Some of them are signed up landowners.
Yeah, I mean, Marion Fulmuth is a landowner.
Marion Fulmuth is dead.
She passed away, unfortunately.
Yeah. Do one of the Abregos work for you?
No.
Not
that I'm aware of.
And Bernice Madsen?
I don't know.
She used to work for Vesta.
Yeah. Vesta.
Yeah.
Vestas.
Yes.
And this is a name I've been hearing too. Tim Donahue, does he work in some capacity for you guys?
No, he's retired from the city of LA.
Okay.
No one on this list works for
us. And no one was paid to say those things. So
oh,
their own words. Just a step to
that
the
I
conclusion.
Never thought of. But Marion lives on.
I am.
Her grandson actually is a turbine
employee
technician.
Somewhere.
Does he live locally still?
I don't believe so. I don't know, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
I mean, I think that's a good opportunity with a project like this. There'll be 10 to 12 permanent jobs. There are people who can get trained in this here in Albert Lea at Riverlands Community College. There are people like him that perhaps want to return, and this is a new opportunity.
See, it says right there, my employment with Vestas.
Oh, yeah. I knew she had some connection. And her husband hauls gravel or something like that.
Yeah. One of the sections in our application, it's going to be beginning of section 8.8, talks about health. And we talk about the health benefits from wind energy by reducing air pollution. I just wanted to ask, what do you think about that? Do you think clean or renewable energy is a good thing?
Clean air is a good thing. The incredible amount of energy that's needed to make these and the incredible amount of money that's spent to do it is outrageous. There's already other energy producing plants, if you will, that can be retrofitted and cleaned up with that same amount of money being spent. So, health-wise, I think there's alternatives. And there's spaces to be put, a wind turbine that could be put where there is simply not as many people living.
Mm-hmm.
So, use them someplace where there's not a lot of people using, or you can put them in there a mile, 2 miles away at a minimum.
Well, I think that's exactly the point, like where there's enough space between people. And
yeah, but your idea of enough space and my idea of enough space differs quite a bit.
Apparently.
As well as, whatever studies I've looked at, 1.2 miles just keeps coming up over and over and over as like a minimum to minimize flicker, infrasound, audible sound, any health impacts. I mean, that just keeps coming up over and over and over and everything that I'm not like Googling 1.2 miles setback, you know. But, and then there's like a paragraph of something being said, and it'll say, with proper sighting. I mean, that's an MIT study. It just goes through and mentions things, and then with proper sighting, and then that's what it comes to, is over a mile, you know, at the end.
Well, I think we're seeing a difference of opinion here, but also a difference of experience. I mean, Worth County, I keep going back to that. There's a number of wind farms in Minnesota as well that don't have 1.2 mile setbacks, and everything is just fine.
Have you talked to everybody in those places that aren't signed up?
Of course I've talked to everybody.
Right. Oh,
so how can you say that everything is just fine when you haven't talked to everybody? Everything is not just fine, because otherwise you wouldn't have people complaining.
Yeah, but it's an impossibility to talk to everybody.
And well, you listened to a couple people at the commissioner's office, and they weren't fine with it.
They apparently are not fine with it, yes.
Yes. No. So then it's not just fine with everybody.
I didn't say it was fine with everybody. When new things happen, whether it's a wind farm or a road, there's going to be some impacts, some minor in some cases and major in others. We're following a set of rules here that limit those impacts. If we as a society decide that we're not going to do anything unless it's zero impact to everybody, nothing is going to change.
I'm okay with impact, but you know, there's people that have chosen to put their land into this. Mm-hmm. They can have the impact. You know, that the compromise has become that we give 100% and the person who's collecting the check gives nothing. You know, they're fine with it. They want to put it up. Invenergy wants to do it. Xcel wants to do it. Xcel has already met their credits, you know, or their RES. They really don't need this at this time. So the compromise becomes ours. The person who doesn't want the shadow on their yard, I'm not talking about your house even, I'm talking about on your yard. I don't want the increased sound in my yard, in my house. I don't want to have to shut blinds. And I don't even have blinds. I live in the country. We don't have blinds on. We're out there to see the view, you know? So when we're talking about impact, yeah, you can have an impact. There are plenty of people who are A-okay with it. If they don't have enough space to put it, then don't put it there. You know, that's what's happening. There's not enough space to put it without impacting those who don't need to be impacted, don't choose to be impacted, and you can still put that turbine over here someplace else. And there can still be the clean wind energy. And it's not the not in my backyard, it's the there are other places it can go. That's...
Isn't that what that means? Not in my backyard?
No. Not in my backyard is I totally don't want to see it anywhere. You know, and you say good neighbor. Did that neighbor come and ask if it was okay for him to sign up for that turbine and impact that next person's life? I mean, half of those people don't even live. They'll never see that turbine. Half of those... I guess it's about half of those people will never see that turbine on their property. They'll just collect the check. They'll maybe drive to Minnesota once every 5 years and see if their renter is still got black dirt there, you know, planting his corn. So, you know, to say that we're backwards, so to speak, that it will, we never want anything to change is incorrect.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying property rights are fundamental. And they go both ways. Mm-hmm. And we're about to present a 1,500-page application. Mm-hmm. Across the border, there's zero. Mm-hmm. And we're demonstrably more spread out here than here. Mm-hmm. But they want all they can get. And here they're limited. Here we're clearly... The balance is different. Here there's more... It's easier to put wind turbines. Here it's harder. Mm-hmm. This means the balance is more in your favor. Mm-hmm. Just by math. So... There's got to be a balance in property rights, and when we have to limit, you know, measure these obscure things like sound and low pressure, low frequency noise, and minimize those to a very low level. Clearly, there's a balance there that has some real tilt in your direction if you don't want to see them. But it's not zero. If you don't want to see them at all, then I'm sorry, that's not going to work. Are there any other data things we can get you? I mean, I You get a preview of the sound application that's got the data on where we measured ambient and what the instruments were.
At this time, no, I don't believe so.
Our bent tree property value study will be in the application. You might be interested in that. What else? We talked about something else. Oh, you asked about wildlife studies. So we've done extensive numbers of those, amounts of that, and that'll be presented here. The DNR is very happy with this project because everything they asked us to avoid, we avoided.
Do you also notify the U.S. Fish and Wildlife?
Yes, and they're in consultation. There's copies of the letters, the correspondence we've had,
mm-hmm.
meeting notes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information. It's going to be kind of overwhelming, but if you have questions about it, that's what we're here to try to answer. Can I ask a question about this?
Yep.
Does the image change so it looks like there's tape piling up on this side?
Yeah. It does. Yes.
So back to the adjusting, I guess I missed it. Is there no
because of Sheldon's house.
There's no adjustments that can be made. If you want
the
more
circle
space,
would be
we
over
have
Sheldon's
to eliminate
house.
Turbines.
This circle would be over Sheldon's house.
Mm.
I was just looking at that map that he sent us,
mm-hmm.
and this is all in the project. By moving them over, but by moving this one over, the circle would have been on Sheldon's house.
And it didn't show its house in that little map.
The Olson property across the road from them.
Right here.
Is that
mm-hmm.
wind rights or is that also transmission?
Yes, it's both.
It's both?
It's kind of a custom agreement because we needed to go across there, but it's mainly wind rights and power lines.
Underground power lines.
Yeah.
So the only overhead will be across the river. Everything else is underground, is that correct or no?
No. This purple line is going to be an above ground line, and this is actually incorrect right here. It'll go like this. Or we were planning to present that. That will actually be a separate application. Which we'll file a couple weeks later.
Where does the purple line start?
Right here. So we've got an option from Chad to buy 13 acres. The blue lines are underground. Everything goes to there. And then it steps up and goes above ground here. So we can carry about 20 megawatts or 10 turbines worth of power on an underground circuit. We have 100 turbines planned. So that would mean 10 underground circuits. We could have everything underground. But then we'd have 10 parallel trenches eventually working their way here. And that has a lot of impact on the land and the tile. There's not enough space for that in some places. And then crossing the river, which is in here,
yeah,
gets
it's right there.
Complicated. So
yeah, the river's actually right between Sipper and Bjorklund there. So it's going to be overhead from here. How big of structures are those going to be? Are they going to be metal, pole?
Probably a combination of wood and metal. The corners where the lines turn will probably be metal. I don't have the exact height yet. It's probably 85 to 100 feet.
Similar to the ones out here coming out of
similar
there right
to the
now?
Ones out of here, yeah. Yeah. It's about 7 miles. If that's
right.
Yep. Yeah, there will be reference to that in the wind farm site permit application, but then there will be later a separate route permit application. That's the way they do it here in Minnesota.
So right at your guys' property?
No. So you can
one
go
short.
Yeah, you'll be going right across property lines there, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. So this is, I mean, yeah, this is a 3/4 line. It's not along the road.
Right, here's the road.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have easements there, so we can't do that, but we're trying to route it along property lines, along roads where it makes sense. Keeping it out of the field.
So there is no overhead up here coming down. This will all be
this is underground. And then this stuff will actually go all the way to there, and then the power brings it back here.
So how do you get from this point to this point?
So we have a gap there, as you can see, and this is a county highway. We're going to seek a permit to use the public right-of-way through there.
And you'd have to do the same thing.
Yeah, there's a couple spots. Probably.
Right here?
Yeah.
That's yours?
Mm-hmm. It is.
I don't know if we have any Invenergy pens we can give you. But...
well, I wouldn't be using it. That's okay.
Well, and listen, obviously we don't agree on everything, but thank you for coming in to talk with us and sharing your concerns, and we'll see if we can find a way to resolve them. And...